The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is Friday, April 17th, 2015. I hope everybody paid their taxes, or the tax man's going to be coming after you, too. I just had to pay taxes because I don't have insurance. What do you know? Ha ha! So much for choice, but we might get into that one day, too. First of all, we've got some sponsors of the show. We've got U.S. Wellness Meats. That's my good friend John Wood, www.grasslandbeef.com. Once again, I'll say it, his website is a piece of cake to go out and navigate through. And if you should get a hold of John, I guarantee you will be very happy. He's a man of vast knowledge, and his dad is in his 90s and still works on the farm. I think that's incredible. Secondly, we have Saugerties Chiropractic Center. That's my chiropractor. He's got to put me together all the time. I've gone to Mark Colligan for over 10 years. This is for the people in the New York area, upstate New York. Presently, they are rebuilding the website. They can be called at 845-246-5020. Of course, I've talked about Mark. He's got the drop table. He works on soft tissue, trigger points. They've got the deep tissue laser. You know, he's really very good with sports injuries. He's working on me right now. I'm pretty much all rock taped up right now. And he's a great guy to talk to, like everybody. And we are working on Skype with him right now because he is going to become a regular on the show. He is a very interesting man. So give him a call, 845-246-5020. And my guest today, he's sponsoring me for Iceland, Dr. Will Wong. I can't say enough about this guy either. I mean, I've done business with him for a long time, and I've talked to him anytime I had to get a hold of him, I could get a hold of him, or he'd return my call back long before we ever came up with Motivation and Muscle. Two things. Number one, if you go out and do a Google on it, you can Google Dr. Wong's Essentials, or you can go out to www.docsprefers.com. If you want to get a hold of Dr. Wong, you leave a message, you will get to him. And he's trained all kinds of athletes. We were just talking offline. He's another guy that's a wealth of knowledge. And these people that we're talking about here, they all own these companies. You know, most people cannot get to the guy that's the top dog there. Well, all these gentlemen are easy and they're accessible. And that's very important to guys and gals like us. And fourth, last but not least, is www.atomicathletic.com. That's our good friend Roger LaPointe, who's a regular on me. He started out with me on Motivation and Muscle many months ago. Right now, he's running a special on the Super Squat Bar. It was $299 and is down to $225 plus shipping. And Roger has told us on the show and me privately that the way they break it up, it's very inexpensive to ship. I believe it only weighs maybe tops 40 pounds, and I've got one coming on the way, and I can't wait to attack this thing. So today's show, we're going to talk with Dr. Wong on anti-aging medicine is not natural, and I wait to hear the perspective we've got here. And as you know, he's got a lot of products that address that, but he's going to come right out and give us everything about it. So, Dr. Wong, welcome to Motivation and Muscle, sir.
Thank you for having me back on board.
I love having you on board, and I want you on as much as you want to come on, because I'll tell you right now, we have right now, I believe, the biggest up-and-coming podcast show out there. And I've told you offline some of the compliments we're getting. We are putting out an exceptional product, and when we have people like you on, that only enhances the show, and it makes me better as a guy in the seat here. So why don't you give everybody a little – I want you to just give us a little bio on yourself if anybody's missed it. Obviously, we can hit the website if you want. Whatever you want to do at this point, and then we'll get right into our subject, please.
Let's see. I started off as a physical education major and undergraduate, phys ed and sports medicine. Went into athletic training. I was a certified athletic trainer. Went into naturopathic from sports medicine through a fellow named Dr. Charles W. Turner. And I have to tell you, a greater healer there has never been except for Jesus. Dr. Turner can lay hands on you and heal you. And I've seen him do it, and heck, he's done it to me. That all of us who studied with Doc, whether we studied sports medicine, whether we studied naturopathic, whether we studied whatever, tried to be like Doc, and a lot of us got little bits and pieces, but we didn't get the whole thing. And unfortunately, Doc passed away. He was 83 to 86 when I studied mm-hmm. with him.
Wow.
And if you go to the dedications page on drwong.us, yep. you'll see a little blurb on Dr. Turner and Dr. Chisholm, who I owe everything I've done in sports medicine and naturopathic to. But
wow.
After that, let's see, I graduated naturopathic school in 81. Got into the Sports Medicine Hall of Fame in the mid-90s, got into the World Martial Arts Hall of Fame in the mid-90s, and somewhere along the end of the 90s into the 2000s, people actually started listening. I used to be this crazy guy, like John the Baptist, you know, dressed in camel hair out in the middle of the desert, with all these really crazy theories and stuff. And then all of a sudden, people started trying it. And lo and behold, it all worked.
Yeah.
I owe all of the promulgation of my ideas to my wife, Michelle. She has promoted what I've been teaching. And then we went and built a supplement company around the stuff that I've been preaching about. And that's basically it. You know?
Yeah. And well, I tell people, I haven't listened in a while, but are you still doing your podcast show?
Not as often as I used to.
I
try to get two shows a month. They are still transmitted on WWCR and WINB over shortwave radio. And then we put them on our podcast site, drwongradio.com. I used to try to do a show a week. I have admittedly been slowing down. Life has gotten insanely busy.
That's good.
You know, taking the time to do the show is often a hard thing to find.
Yeah, it is. I can tell you that because with all the moves we're making now, I'm doing 10 podcasts a week. How's that?
Wow, that's a lot. Holy cow.
I'm looking at a sheet right now with people that want to be contacted to come on. I've got right now... I have 12 people that I have not gotten back to that want to come on the show. I'm trying to build this show, and I feel, and I love doing this, Doc. This is, I feel, my forte. We want to change the scope of everything out there. Now, I'm not saying I'm not going to be putting out products too, but I feel my strengths. I think downloadable stuff is great, okay? But it's pigeonholed into just so many things, where when we have people like you or other guests on, or even if I do like a singular show for 15 minutes, the amount of content coming at you, and this is what I'm being told, it's like it's unbelievable the stuff that you're hearing here. And obviously you've got to watch some language with iTunes, but I give pretty much everybody a very open forum, and most people will not let you do that. They, you know, they take it and rein you in, and unless there's stuff being said I don't want, I let everybody come in here and do their thing and answer things and make them feel comfortable, and I don't give you any surprise questions. So I think that's why our success is growing, and I really don't think there's anything out there like what we're doing right now. So I plan on growing this thing massive, and I want to get everybody on board with the FBC family and Motivation Muscle as we can, because I look at it from a kid that would be sitting there thinking, okay, what do I want to ask Dr. Wong today? Or what is it, who's out there that knows how to do X, Y, Z? Can I get them on the show? I still have that childlike idealism about training and diet and sleeping and all the stuff that people take for granted. I think that's why we're in such a shithole right now, especially with physical strength and physical culture. What do you think about that? And then we'll get right into our subject.
You know, we have become so commercialized
yeah.
in the strength training business. And it all started with the Weider generation back in the 60s.
Yep.
And I'm partially guilty for being part of that generation. You know,
yep.
we all started reading Weider's magazines instead of Bob Hoffman's magazines.
Yeah, you're right, exactly.
They were just glitzier and had more women on them.
Yep.
And we all wanted to be like Schwarzenegger, and we wanted to be
yep.
like this. And we forgot that we needed a basis in real strength.
Yes.
I make the strict differentiation between bodybuilders and real strength trainees, because bodybuilders are not real strength trainees. And I say this as an ex-bodybuilder.
Yep.
You know, when I popped my first lumbar disc, that taught me that I was not doing enough real core strength stuff.
Yep.
And that I was basically working around the edges, and I needed to go back to the concentration that I had when I started off working out in a place called McBurney's YMCA in Manhattan.
Okay.
And McBurney's used to be the York of New York City.
Okay.
McBurney's was the place where if you were a serious Olympic lifter, you went there. They
yep.
had the power racks. They had the lifting platforms. They had the Olympic bars. And then I somewhere along the line, I bit into the Weider bug.
Yeah.
And I started training at R&J Health Club, which is a great gym. And I got to meet Chris Dickerson, and I got to
okay.
train in the gym at the same time as Louis Ferrigno and
yep.
Pete Caputo and all those other really big-time bodybuilders. So I got into the bodybuilding mindset. But it took me to my 30s to figure out that looking good didn't necessarily mean I was any stronger than I had been before.
Right. Well, the thing is, and that's what we want to do, you know, like a couple people I've talked to, they love it. You know, it's strength and power and will and muscle. That's what we talk about. I've got Raynor Wartell on tomorrow. He's a Highland guy from the Netherlands, and I was talking to him a little bit before you came on. What a real interesting guy, and the people that he's training with, they went over to Iceland. They were just screwing around with the Husafell stone. A couple of them went around, you know, most of them just picked it up, and they want to get back there. I mean, these are real, I love talking to anybody, but it's like, man, you know, you get a sense when you talk to these guys that are out there in the middle of nowhere and they're training their ass off like I do here in that little garage. That, to me, is what it's all about. That's how you last as long as you can in this sport. And it's like you hit the nail right on the head. You got functional muscle. I mean, you can put it to the road when you're out there. If you're just blown up, it's like, okay, and half these guys, when they walk, they look like they can't even move.
That's exactly right.
Right? Right. And what's going to happen to you if you go out in the concrete jungle and somebody walks up to you and says, give me your wallet? It's like,
you're going to throw a pose.
Unless you got, right. Unless you got a gun point in my head, I'm going to break your face right off. That's it. But we'll get into that more on another time, but it's a very interesting topic. So being that you are a man that knows anti-aging, let's get into that. Everybody wants the fountain of youth. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I don't want to get old, but I know that's a fact of life. How did the whole anti-aging thing get started, in your opinion?
You know, the baby boomers, my generation, did not want to turn 30. We were all taught that you never trust anyone over 30, and then we hit 30. And then we became the yuppies, the super upper-class nouveau riche sons of bitches that ruined the planet. And then the conscience hit them, but that's besides the point. So now the people who ruined the planet are now the folks running all the ecology.
Yeah,
but
they're running everything. Yep.
But what also happened is that the people who didn't want to hit 30 hit 60.
Yep.
While they were in their 50s, they realized, holy crap, things aren't working anymore. My dick isn't working, my shoulder's not working, my knee's not working, my whatever. And the realization came that you could hold off the deterioration that happens with aging. And we all knew that. All the folks who advocated exercise, We all followed Dr. Paul Bragg. We all followed Jack Lane. We all followed Dr. Patricia Bagg. We knew we could hold off the aging process. And the problem has become is that some folks have turned both the seeking of health and diet and whatever else into a religion. You know, there isn't a diet anywhere, from the old Pritikin diet to the high carb diet to the diamond diet to the paleo diet to the vegetarian diet, that didn't turn into a frickin' religion when bean counters started coming in and turning it into an accounting process instead of a philosophy of life, a philosophy of eating that is flexible. All of a sudden, you can't eat this and you can't eat that, and you can't touch this and you can't touch that, and because of your blood type, you absolutely can't go there. You know, so instead of the guidelines, you have concrete poured into the diets. Now, the same thing has happened in anti-aging. You've basically got two camps of anti-aging happening. The majority camp are folks who want to be natural and organic and raw and whatever, and they want to do anti-aging the natural way. And they hear me recommend things like metformin and Cialis, and they're horrified. How can you recommend drugs? You're a naturopath, whatever. And I, you know, very easy. Look at it this way. Anti-aging ain't natural.
Right.
It is natural to get old, get decrepit, dysfunctional, and die. That's what we're supposed to do.
Yep.
We're not supposed to hang out on the planet for frickin' ever. So doing anti-aging work is actually going against nature, so you want to use nature to go against nature.
Yep.
There's something philosophically not correct about that. And yes, most of us aged badly because we ate badly and we didn't exercise and we didn't do this and we smoked and whatever, you know. So now, especially the yuppies who committed all these sins, especially the guys, and these are the worst guys, who were really heavy-duty recreational drug users when they were younger, all of a sudden they want to go natural and organic. I'm sorry, you can't do this shit. You can't undo this shit that you did to yourself with all the damn drugs back when you were in the 70s and 80s and 90s.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, ease up, repair what you can, and never mind what you can't. But, you know, there are certain drugs that you have to get to when you get to a certain point in anti-aging just to keep the process going, just to enhance and bring you back to the physiology you had back when you were in your 20s and your 30s that you can't do with the vitamins. You can't do even with my enzymes. You can't do with the herbs.
Yep.
There are certain things that it takes drugs to do. And some folks in anti-aging just can't get past that point.
Now, when we're obviously, I'm pretty sure I know one of them they're doing, growth hormone. Would you say is that the biggest thing anti-aging wise you can't buy over the counter? Or I'm sure they're taking testosterone. What else are these people getting in? I know some people I've heard, I don't know if that's true, is there such a thing as where they're even firing like aminos through them too?
Well, if I remember correctly, the amino acid IVs were really big about 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't think they're quite as big as they used to be because honestly they didn't do
much.
React as advertised.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, the entire amino acid thing as a supplement, everyone is isolating all these wonderful amino acids, and when you isolate the amino acid and take it all by itself without any other food, it does X and X and X.
Yep.
And to a point, yes, if you're dealing with arginine, if you're dealing with trimethylglycine, if you're dealing with I forgot the one that removes cataracts. Yes, it's true. But in the main, most of the isolated amino acids just went off and combined themselves with other amino acids, turned themselves into protein, and you wasted a hell of a lot of money getting that stuff shot into your veins, but it didn't do jack shit.
Right, exactly. Well, what do you think, is it, all right, we know we can go do stuff naturally and we can talk about stuff because obviously you've got products and I want to push that, obviously, but growth hormone and testosterone, would you say those are the two major ones that, you know, we're not doing naturally, we're doing synthetic stuff, or is there more out there?
You know, We all need the growth hormone. And now, here is where the entire world is going to change. There has been something developed in the veterinary world. You know, if you ever heard my podcast, I always tell folks, veterinary medicine is 30 to 40 years ahead of human medicine.
Yep.
Look at what they're doing in veterinary medicine, and you will see what will be done in human medicine in 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
They have got a vaccine for goats and cows, a somatostatin vaccine, that there is a little enzyme that kills human growth hormone.
Okay.
The older we get, the more that enzyme we make. One vaccine of this stuff, or a couple of shots of this stuff, will keep your body from making somatostatin. So basically, you will be making HGH and IGF-1 at the rate you were back when you were in your teens and 20s forever.
Wow.
That is the fountain of youth. And
yep.
So far, it's only been available for goats and cows in some foreign countries. God knows I've been trying to get my hands on some of this stuff. And I can't get it in the States. I can't even bribe a vet.
Yeah, no, you won't.
I'll
tell you something I remember. There's a lot of the guys, I know one guy in particular, when he was competing, he was taking a horse steroid called Parabol.
Oh, yeah.
It was quite strong, and obviously, you know, they're matching it up with, obviously, anything that would be water-based, that would be right out, et cetera, because, of course, they want to be ripped to shreds. And I'll tell you, man, that was the real deal. I mean, I couldn't believe what was going on with that stuff. Definitely. Okay, so obviously we've got something out there that's going to make you feel like you're a 20-year-old again. But if we can't get that, and probably eventually we'll be able to, is still growth hormone itself, you know, shooting it into your abdominal area, is that still, what would you clarify? What's like one, two, three?
Okay, let's talk about what happens with aging, and let's talk about what happens with Olympians who basically are HGH junkies, because most all Olympians are HGH junkies.
Okay.
When we get older from like, well, it actually starts at 27, but let's say from 40 on, our mm-hmm. internal organs, including our brain, all of our internal organs begin to shrink.
Mm-hmm.
With a diminution in size comes a diminution in function. If we were in a med school anatomy lab and we opened up an 18-year-old and we took a look at his heart, his lungs, his kidneys, his liver, his pancreas, they would all be full size. They're nice and juicy. They look like what they're supposed to look like. Open up an 80-year-old
mm-hmm.
and everything is about one-third the size of the 18-year-old, even though they might be about the same height. And when you cut through it, it feels like cutting through a day-old Italian bread that's been sitting on the kitchen counter.
Yep.
Okay? Because it's full of fibrosis, and the fibrosis has shrunk. It has clogged up the inside, so that particular organ did not work. It was not as hollow as it was supposed to be, not as functional as it was supposed to be. Had its working components glommed over with scar tissue. So one of the things that we have seen with the use of HGH in the Olympics is that all these Olympians not only have big square heads and tall foreheads,
mm-hmm.
but their internal organs are one-third the size larger than they would used to be. So you got all these guys with, you know, they can't even suck in their guts because their livers are bigger, their pancreases are bigger, their kidneys are bigger. In the 70 and 80-year-old docs that I know who use HGH regularly, their adrenals are the size of my fist.
It's, oh, my God.
Instead of looking like a couple of walnuts, they're huge.
Yep.
And these folks are so energetic. They burn rubber when they peel off. And I know one doc who burns rubber in her SUV. She is so just energized and so filled with life force.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
she does the HGH several times a week. And it's just amazing to see what has happened. So, yes, we need the HGH. Then we need the testosterone. On top of that, we need the human chorionic gonadotropin. Because that does a whole number of things. One of the things we see with testosterone use is that your balls shrink. And so does your wally-wally. Although, the guys who apply the gel to their penises don't have the penis shrinkage.
Okay.
But their testicles shrink. There was, and I will not name names, there was a famous bodybuilder who was training with Arthur Jones back when Jones first developed Nautilus. And Jones wanted to see exactly what the effects of his Nautilus machines were on bodybuilding, and he took into account every possible factor that could have influenced the growth of muscle. So he was actually measuring this guy's balls with a micrometer.
Yeah.
And during the entire time he was down in DeLand, Florida, training with the Nautilus folks, his testicles were shrinking and getting smaller, and he was completely impotent.
Yeah.
Which runs counter to the guy's image today, but let me not even go there. So we know that testosterone use, even therapeutic testosterone use, shrinks your testicles, diminishes function, and can actually lower sperm count in some guys, it raises sperm count. But the use of human chorionic gonadotropin in guys and gals helps to promote the luteinizing hormone, which makes progesterone, which makes testosterone, and you can increase sperm count and increase testicular growth. You know, when everyone goes off the hormones, when all the big-time bodybuilders go off the hormones, and all the big-time football linemen go off the hormones, they go see their docs, their steroid expert docs, of which there are a good many, especially out in California. Mm-hmm. And all these guys put them on HGH to regrow their balls. It's the only reason why these guys can have kids later on.
Yep.
And so we need the HGH, we need the IGF-1, we need the HCG, the human chorionic gonadotropin, we need the testosterone, we need to put back the progesterone, and then we need to take the herbs that make dopamine. But when we get to the point where our brain is just not making enough dopamine anymore, this is again where we need to get into the drugs and use the cinnamon, the slow-release dopamine, in substitute, because we are heading into Parkinson's. From the age of 40 onward, we lose 1 to 10% of the substantia nigra, which is the part of the brain that makes dopamine. We lose 1 to 10% of that a year. It just stops functioning. It just dies off. And unless we put the dopamine back, we don't have desire, we don't have passion, we don't have the drive for life.
Mm-hmm.
And we lost part of the axis that makes us young and spry and strong. And we also, the more dopamine we lose control over our bodies, because without dopamine, there is no physical control by the brain of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Dopamine, you know, we can tell a premorbid state by testing catecholamines in urine. And when we don't see any anymore, we know that the guy stopped making dopamine, and he's within 3 to 4 days of dying.
Oh, wow.
So dopamine is absolutely essential for life. When we don't make as much as we used to, and we're shuffling across the floor, and we kind of are stumbling, and our hands begin to shake a bit, that's when we know we got to replace the dopamine. And this is, you know, we have natural reasons. Oh, let's put in the Mucana purpurins, and let's do that. Yeah, and that'll work to a point.
Yep.
But you can only take so much of this. I mean, are you going to eat this stuff by the cupful?
Yeah.
Or are you going to take one cinnamon pill and be done for the day?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know that for people, let's talk about people. I mean, we know it's quite costly to get into this stuff. I don't know how much your insurance is going to cover or not.
None of it.
Nothing, right. So you can imagine what it's going to cost to go to an anti-aging doctor, run tests, obviously tell you need this, this, and this.
And by the way, you docs out there, that's why anti-aging is such a good field. There's no insurance payment. It's all out of pocket.
Yeah, which is nice. That's cash in your pocket, exactly. So you can do whatever you want. Cash is the king there. But obviously, you deal with a lot of natural methods, and, you know, over the years, obviously, you know what the hell to do. How far, I mean, I know we've got to do some synthetic stuff, but let's talk about somebody that maybe is still ahead of the curve. Maybe they're in their mid to late 40s, 50. They've been an athlete their whole life. Let's go with the theory that they're not broken to bits. How could you go with them, obviously, naturally, with what you do or what you would say to possibly get them at least in a better frame of mind, a better physicality, let's go with the theory they know how to train.
Yeah.
What would you say to that, Dr. Wong?
First, a basic program of supplementation would involve the use of systemic enzymes. That's the foundation for everything else you do nutritionally. And then we would put them on the two main minerals that we need to support tissue and to support hormone making, and that's magnesium and zinc.
Yep.
Then we would make sure that they're taking the pro-testosterone, pro-progesterone herbs of ashwagandha and maca.
Yep.
And then we would also start taking care of their joints, because we do terrible things to our joints, especially when we're young. And if you've been athletic, if you've been a jock since childhood, your joints are just worn down to crap. So we need to start putting in the stuff to recoat the joints before they get to bone on bone and they can't be recoated anymore.
Right.
So those are the primary things. And then we need to shift over to a more paleo type of diet.
Yep.
And then
now that's I don't mean to interrupt you. This gets me freaked a little bit about paleo. Now, you hit it right on the mark where it's like it's eat this way or you know you're dead. All right, which this is what has turned me off from a lot of people I used to either listen to or read, because I don't know if I told you there was something this past Christmas that just pissed me off to no end. It was like, if you go and eat any of these cookies, you know, it's all the gluten stuff, leaky gut, the whole deal. You know, basically they're telling you, you know, say your sister, your mom, your girlfriend makes some butter cookies, all right, and you're not prone to eat a lot of this stuff at all. The whole idea was this: if you eat it, you're basically effed. You know, it's like you're gonna die, all this, and I'm like, you know, I can't even listen to this shit anymore because it's not,
that has,
go ahead.
That has always been a crock of bullshit.
Yeah, totally.
You got to remember the mentality of these folks. These are accountant type bean counters who have turned, you know, and usually they're atheists or they're pseudo Buddhists who have turned a philosophy or a guideline into a religion.
Yep.
And you know, since they don't believe in anything else, they have to believe in something. So they're going to believe in the paleo diet, or they're going to believe in the Pritikin diet, or they're going to believe in the diamond diet, or they're going to believe in this diet, and they're going to turn it into a faith.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, if you don't do this, you're committing mortal sin.
Absolutely.
You know, ain't no such thing as confession there. You're just going to die.
Yeah, I know. We're not going to get to live a month or two and watch yourselves disintegrate. You're just going to drop dead, which is ludicrous. But, you know, I don't even know if I like to call it paleo. I mean, it's like it's the way they used to eat way back when. But what as far as that diet goes, obviously, I believe we were meat eaters. Some people will vehemently disagree with me. You know, all we ate was vegetation. Well, why do you have those canine teeth, too, you know, to chomp stuff? And it's the same way now. We know everything that was bad 35 years ago, butter, any type of fats, you know, I mean, it makes no sense, especially with your brain, the amount of fat it's comprised of. Now suddenly everybody's kind of doing a turnaround on that. All right, so if we're talking, we'll call paleo. We're going to talk about diet now with how you feel with anti-aging. How do you set yourself up? I mean, I know eggs, fats, but go ahead. You got the floor. You tell me what you would do.
Let's take a look at anthropology. Physical anthropology is one of my great loves. If I hadn't become a naturopath, I would have become a forensic anthropologist.
Yep.
4.5 million years man's been on the earth. And for those 4.5 million years, except for the last 6,000 or maybe 10,000, man was a hunter-gatherer. As a hunter-gatherer, his diet was 60 to 70% meat, leafy greens, fresh vegetables when he could find them, when he could dig them up.
Yep.
Some eggs when he found a dodo bird somewhere and left his nest. And, you know, he grabbed the egg and ran off.
Yep.
And so the guys did the hunting and the women did the gathering.
Mm-hmm.
They basically ate, they were opportunists, they ate whatever they could find, but typically they spent 14, 16 hours a day, 14 to 16 hours a week gathering food. Okay, then someone taught man how to plant a seed, and he became a grain eater and a farmer.
Yep.
We can see from the anthropological records, from the bone records, that as soon as man became agrarian, as soon as he became a farmer, he lost 8 inches in height. He lost bone density, and he became susceptible to every infectious disease on the frickin' planet.
Yep.
So, when you lose bone density, you lose muscle density. So he became smaller, weaker, less fit, and susceptible to disease. Man did not evolve, if you believe in in evolution, man did not evolve into eating grains.
Right.
Because for 4.5 million years, he didn't.
Yep.
It's only been the last 6 to 10,000 years that man has eaten grains. And this is one thing that the vegetarians just don't get. Now, some studies were done at the Karolinska Institute, which is the largest teaching hospital in Europe, in Copenhagen. And they went even further. They found that the societies that thrived best in Northern Europe and in Africa were the ones that drank milk. Well, holy cow, that's one of the biggest mortal sins you could ever do in the vegetarian world is have a glass of milk. Never mind you sucked off your mother's teat for 3 years. But no, milk is a terrible thing. So, you know, they found that the Northern Europeans who drank milk, aren't we forever being told that blacks can't have milk? Well, somebody forgot to tell that to the Zulu and the Maasai.
Yep.
And we're forever being told that Asians aren't supposed to drink milk. But I'm sorry, the Mongols drank milk. They drink mare's milk, for God's sakes, which is, I've never had that stuff. I love goat's milk. But they drank the milk of horses, and they conquered half, almost all the frickin' world. You know, the vegetarian religionists, and that's what they are a religion, have their points. One of their invalid points is saying that vegetarianism will bring about world peace. I'm sorry, Hitler was a strict vegetarian. You want to tell me that he had a nice, safe, peaceful mindset because he only ate vegetables?
Yeah.
He would not kill anything. He didn't want to kill anything to feed himself.
Yep.
He had that nice vegetarian mindset. They didn't want anything to suffer. Some of the Hindu folks don't eat anything that has a face. You know, if it's a religion, if it's your faith, if it's part of your spiritual makeup, that's fine. But don't tell me it's human physiology, because it ain't.
Well, and you and I both know. I doubt the Romans were vegetarians. I doubt the Vikings were anything like a warring tribe. Look, when I was in Iceland, all I did is ate fat, eggs. I wouldn't say they're. You know, you saw a lot of stuff that probably in this country they would call processed meats, but they sure didn't taste like that. A lot of them were smoked. A lot of the fish would be hanging there, smoked. You know, we'd eat that. Shark was huge over there.
And I bet you there's no Alzheimer's.
Nothing. Let me put it to you this way. This is what was really impressive, even though it didn't feel good to me. When I tore my bicep over there, there were a lot of different older people that come to see us and all that, and there was a doctor, thank God, there and all that. Let me tell you something. Not only were they sharp and they looked fit, and these are people well into their 60s. But you know something? You ask them about, why are you here? The Husafell Stone. Oh, yeah. And they would tell you about it and stuff. And it was like, I know to a lot of people that might not be impressive, but to me it's very impressive, because at 40 now you got people that are cloudy in the head. You talk to them, they look at you like, huh? You know, it's like, you know what I mean? It's like when I went over there, Doc, and I can't wait to get back, it's a style of life that agrees with me. And I know, I'm sure everything over there isn't perfect. I'm looking at it kind of through like jaded eyes in some ways, because it's just such a beautiful place. It's a lifestyle as far as eating goes.
And they just got that the bankers in the EU, so it's even better.
Exactly. And you know something else? I'll tell you this. All I ever heard was, oh, they're socialist as hell and all this. All right, when I tore my arm, they would have fixed it that night. No charge. Fine. All right, I got it. But the majority of people I talked there, they weren't socialists at all. They were more like the guy that wants to go out there and make the money. And they were like, well, that was a time, you remember when they went after the banks and all that stuff. These people weren't screwing around. It's like they wanted to make money and they wanted to survive in life. So, you know, sometimes the shit you hear about different places isn't always what it's cracked up to be. But just, and we'll get right back to you. But a note is, like, when you're talking about eating, look, you got to know the people so well in the hotel we were staying in Reykjavik. I mean, you know, they were making filet. I never ate so much lamb in my life. Different soups. They'd come out, they had 3 different types of whole milk. I mean, it was like anything you wanted, they had. You want any type of fats, they had it. It was like, it just agreed with me and my personality. And I think, look, I think having manliness, what you and I talk about and the other guys on here, it's like this. I think that's a way of life. And I believe for myself, look, I don't want to be living out in a shack out in the woods, but I wouldn't mind being close to it. I think it does something for you as a man. I think, look, when there's a time to be like soft with your wife or your girlfriend or your kids or your nieces and nephews, that's one thing. But, and I don't mean walking around with like a shit puss on your face and miserable. That's not what I'm saying here. I think, though, for me, and I think a lot of men in general, we like that ruggedness, that roughness out there. Not a lot of comfort, but comfortable enough where you're not freezing to death, you have a good bed, and most of all, you have a refrigerator that's full to go along with your array of very hardcore training.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think, you know what it is? I don't think that life is as hard as it's always made out to be. I know there's a lot of people that make money off, you know, this type of stuff where everything's gloom and doom and everything. But I can tell you, going through some stuff for the last couple of years, yeah, you have some days, but you know what? As you progress and get better with your craft and you see what you want, your goal through, like me with the business here, with the podcast show, with the Fiorello Barbell Company, and all the things I have planned out in the next 2 years. I mean, I've got a plan for the business. I've got a plan for what I want to do with equipment in the next, for 3 years, man. This is what happens when you live like this, when you believe like this, and you believe in yourself, and you're consistent, and you're committed. You would not believe the change psychologically you have. I mean, there's people that were around you that you're friends with that, you know, something I can't even relate to now. And nothing against them. I don't want to be around them because I'll tell you what, I don't want to hear that my job sucks. I don't want to hear that I can't stand to be around my wife and kids. I don't want to hear that, hey, I'm getting a big fat gut and I can't even tie my shoes now. It doesn't relate with me. And if I tell them things, they look at me like saying, what the fuck's wrong with you? You know? So all I can say is entrepreneurship for me has been, regardless what happens from here on in, it was the greatest thing besides weightlifting that I've ever done in my life. It shapes you in a way like you're razor sharp, and you learn after a while when you get punched in the face enough and nothing happens anymore, you really become almost like it's like you can take anything. It's like you're bulletproof almost. You know, it's like I'm Teflon now. Whatever you hit me with is just coming right back at you. And that's how I feel now. It's a very good feeling to know that you feel like you're rounding the corner now, and here we go. The world's a big, wide open place.
Now think of all the folks who have not allowed themselves to get hit in the face. Think of all the folks who have denied themselves the growth experiences, because it's not the positive stuff that makes you grow. It's the negative stuff that makes you grow.
Exactly.
Think of all the folks who want to be taken care of and pampered and welfared their entire lives.
Yep.
What useless freaking lives they've got.
Totally. Look, today when I was out, I had to go out and do some shopping. So I had to go to like a co-op and things that I've always been a big people watcher. And, you know, like I think we talked about on the other shows, you know, an athlete usually by their neck, you know, if you see somebody with a, and I'm not talking about a double chin neck either. I'm talking about somebody that you can always tell from the sides of the neck if they worked it, you know, hands, wrists. I notice those things because that's just part of my stuff now. You know, I've been doing this so long, it's like there's just certain things I look. How do you stand? You know, are you upright or are you like most people where you're hunched forward? How do you sit in a chair? How do you eat? Do you know, and you laugh because I used to say, you know, my mother and father are on my ass all the time. Put your napkin on, hold your fork. You don't use your fork like a shovel. Learn how to hold, you know, because they said to me, someday when you're in business or you work for somebody and you have to go to a restaurant, show your manners. Show you know how to present yourself and carry yourself. And it's really funny now because when I was in business, you know, in the IT field, and a lot of times you'd have to go out with people, you know, that you would never associate with anyways, but everybody wants you to buy their software, so they take you to a nice restaurant. I got to tell you, you know, besides, I don't know if it's a sizing up thing, but I just like to look at people's physicality because most of the time they look anemic. And so you sit down with them and, you know, the majority of them don't even put their napkin on their lap, and they bring their food to their face, basically. And I think this kind of goes with everything that I believe in, where I'm not saying I'm not looking for perfection with anybody, but if you go out on a date with a girl, you know, I don't, you know, I want her to be a certain way. I know if you say that today, it's like, you're not giving me my freedom. Well, if you go to a nice 5-star restaurant, there's a certain way you need to dress, because that's your pride right there. I'm not a guy that gets dressed up a lot, but when I go, I go. All my clothes are custom made. I have to do that. All right. I think it all goes back to how you see yourself. How do you train yourself? How do you train your mind? Do you even give a damn about that stuff? Are you too busy out texting or effing around buying shoes, or, you know, I'm going to go to the gym because I'm going to get laid? Well, chances are everybody else has laid the chick there that you're going to lay tonight, all right? So this all goes with the way I weave everything in here, where, you know, we're talking anti-aging, but it's like, okay, then there's physical strength, and then there's a way you present yourself, et cetera, et cetera. Because the bottom line is, let's face it, if you feel like shit every day, do you really want to jump out of bed and have your feet hit the floor in the morning? I would venture to venture that you're probably popping your alarm clock off a half a dozen times before you get up. Then you got to rush. You're maybe make work by 1 minute, and you know what? You're sitting there, and you're like I'd be on those days. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing here other than this big paycheck?
Yep.
That's it. What do you think as far as, like, you know, with anti-aging and stuff, where do you think we're going to go from here down the road? I mean, are we going to get more and more sophisticated with it and get more and more people, buying into this? Or where do you think we're going?
It's already actually getting pretty damn gross. You've got the natural health food people, the exercising people, and they're okay. But we're already seeing drug companies buying bits and pieces. The drug companies, especially Lilly, are buying aborted fetuses, aborted babies. Oh. And this is why they want late-term abortion, because they want as well-developed pieces as they can. And then they use the pieces to make stem cells. They use the pieces to create fertilized embryos. They use the pieces to make medications. We are going to see people start growing people for spare parts.
Oh, man.
And it's going to get pretty damn freaking sick.
The
rich people are already getting that somatostatin thing that I spoke about before.
Yep.
If you're rich enough, you've got it, and you can extend your lifespan. So we're already seeing that the people who never exercised, never did a thing to maintain their health, ate caviar, Tam Tam, and champagne all the damn time.
Yep.
Those are the guys who are basically vampiring, feeding, zombieing off the rest of us to maintain their lifespans. That's where it's going in the extreme. In the short term, anti-aging medicine will be a boom to the baby boomers, and it will hopefully keep us alive longer, keep us functional longer, and keep us healthier longer. You know, everybody dies. Even Jack LaLanne died.
Sure.
You know, so we can't expect not to die, but we sure could expect to look better in the coffin than
anybody else.
Some 40-year-old who's done a lot of drugs and just texted and laid himself to death.
Yeah, and you know something, though, too, though? Look, here's what I believe with that, all right? So the richy rich can get whatever they want, but you know something? There's one thing that they can't get. If they've never had the mindset or the will to do anything, I imagine it doesn't mean jack shit to them, but I'm talking from guys like us. It'd be like, all right, I feel great, but I've got, like, the mind of a fucking walnut here. You know, and I've had people doing shit for me my whole life, or I inherited whatever. And look, I've got nothing against somebody going out and being a capitalist. That's what I am. I mean, I want to go out and make as much as I can. But here's the big but. I want people to come along for the ride, and I want to help people.
Yes.
And I don't ever want to lose that pathway, because that's basically what I love to do. It excites me, and it what excites me more is to, like when I was telling you offline about, you know, how we're designing some more equipment right now to go to Iceland, which, who knows, maybe it'll market it a year from now. I don't know. But one thing that I've always loved, Dr. Wong, is this. I like creativity. And, I think it's like the kid that's got all the bells and whistles, but he basically sucks. He can't do anything. He can't play organized sports. But he's got, if you say to him, you got the latest Nintendo? Yeah, right here. You know what I mean? It's like, to me, after a while, it's like it wears out. So, and you're standing there and you're saying, now, what do I do with the rest of my life?
Yep.
You know, exactly. And you better have a lot of money, and you better have all the injectables you can get in here, because I think most of them are, they literally probably just jump off a bridge. They don't know what to do.
Exactly. Aside from taking care of their 401c, most folks don't know what they're going to do with the rest of their lives.
Yep.
I mean, entrepreneurs work for themselves. If they succeed, great. If they fail, they tried. Most folks don't even try.
I know.
Which means they failed from the get-go because they haven't even tried, because they don't have the gumption. And this leads right back to two things, testosterone and dopamine, because you can't have drive without testosterone, and you can't have drive without dopamine. So we could probably do blood tests on all the little Weasley men out there who are just kind of ambling along in life.
Yeah.
And you'll see that they're estrogen dominant, they've got high prolactin, they've got no HCG, and their testosterone is down in the shitter, and they've got low dopamine.
Yep. Obviously we know that we can get it, you know, you'd have to get a prescription for the dopamine. Do you got anything product-wise that you use for dopamine?
You know, until you hit a certain point, you can take the herbs, especially Makuna, and you can make dopamine. We've got Makuna in Kindle product, along with one Brazilian herb whose name eludes me now, that helps the body make luteinizing hormone to make testosterone. So if we combine the Enkindle with the Andeinescence, which is our maca ashwagandha herb, the maca has all the sterols to make the testosterone and the progesterone. The ashwagandha helps to make luteinizing hormone. And we've got a double whammy there in making all the good hormones to keep not only your sex drive alive, but also your drive for life.
Yeah, so if they went out and they wanted to get enkindled, could they get it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because that sounds like something nice, man. That'd be a good thing. That will work, obviously. And you know, I also think, too, as far as producing stuff like that, growth hormone and testosterone, obviously, we know we got into we have to get into a lot shorter workouts, and they have to be pretty brutally heavy. Obviously, you've got to go from workout to workout, recovery. But, you know, when you're taking those systemic enzymes, that's going to really, you know, bring your recovery up big time. And I meant to say that to you. I remember you saying, like, how the organs, it's almost like they get all this fiber through them and all that. Now, the systemic enzymes that you market, Dr. Wong, they help out with clearing that stuff out, correct?
Yes. One of the functions of a orally administered proteolytic enzyme is to eat away at fibrosis. And whether the fibrosis is from a scar tissue injury, whether it's postoperative fibrosis, or just the fibrosis that grows naturally in the kidneys, lungs, and on the joints from old age, it will eat away the fibrosis. It'll also eat away at the excesses of fibrin that could go to clog up the bloodstream.
Well, you know what I noticed since taking that? This is the second bottle of it. I've noticed a lot more flexibility in joints. I've noticed, like, it's not a cracking sound like there's something wrong. It just feels like the joints are freeing up, and you'll hear the crack. They feel good. I mean, that's why hopefully we'll get this whole thing with the shoulder rectified between your products and obviously going down and getting ART. But, you know, that one thing, and I know we're getting near the end of the show, but don't you feel that the short, heavier workouts, you know, say within 40 minutes after your warm up, they're going to produce some power in you? Would you agree with me that?
You know, all those long workouts where you see the workouts listed in the magazines, where the guy's got 90,000 exercises for one body part, hundreds of reps. Who the fuck can do that? I'm sorry to say that word, but
that's all right.
Who the hell keep that up? That's completely unsustainable. And yep. besides the fact that your body will never recover from it.
Yeah.
Why they write that crap?
Well, you and I both know. You hit it on the head with Weider way back in the 60s. It's like, you know what it is? They got the slick-looking models on it. I don't care what kind of guy you are. You know, you see something like that, you're going to buy it. Yep. But the thing is, it's like, most of these guys are all full of shit. You know, they're all ghostwriters for them.
Yeah.
And you know something? There isn't anything out there. There's a few books out there that are good that are not mainstream. Of course, I still like Milo. That's been around since the early 90s with Randall Strassen.
Right.
Excellent guy. And, you know, Brooks Kubrick has got the Dinosaur Files. And,
absolutely great stuff.
You know, yeah, it's all relative stuff that, see, look at, you could just squat and get friggin' gigantic if you know how to carry out the squat program, how to alternate what you're going to do during the days of the week. And I'm telling you, Paul Anderson, a prime example, he squatted forever. Bob Peoples took him down there. Look at, I mean, it was like he was one of the first people Anderson ever even corresponded and met with and trained with, okay? And anybody that knows Bob Peoples, go look him up. I think maybe he's 180 pounds. He deadlifted, I think, 727. And I don't remember if it was overhand with straps or not. I'd have to go back and look. It doesn't matter. It's like, you talk about a guy, he was a farmer. He had, it was in a root cellar.
Yes.
And his stuff was as primitive gets. And I'm here to tell you, this is what you and I are talking about. It's like, besides the anti-aging, I mean, weightlifting when done properly is anti-aging.
Exactly.
And it's like, come on, girls and guys, stop with the three-hour fucking routines. Stop wearing the clothes everybody's wearing. Go outside. Train outside. Train in a garage. Go train with a couple buddies. Get some equipment. Whatever it is. Because I'm telling you right now, if you do that, you're going to build that mindset that's, it's going to be like a brick wall. And you'll have ups and downs. I have. Dr. Wong has. Everybody has. But you know what the nice thing about it is? When you build that character, I don't care how far that tree trunk of yours bends, it's always going to pop back up.
Exactly.
So that's how I would say it. You got anything else, Doc, you want to add?
You know, you mentioned Bob Peoples. Anyone
yeah.
who's taken a look at pictures of his spiny erecti muscles,
oh yeah,
they're just in awe. He couldn't get a back injury if he tried.
Nope.
And you know, there's a time in every lifter's life when he begins
yep.
to train the flashy muscles and ignores
yep.
the central core muscles, especially the lower back, pelvis, and abdomen.
Yep.
And
well, you look, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That.
Well, you know what's interesting too is one of Rieger, the Olympic lifter, had one of the most impressive backs I've ever seen. I always thought that his spinal erectors looked like boa constrictors. But the other guy, I mean, you look at any athlete, you're gonna find. But I'll tell you the one guy's back, and if I don't remember what issue it was of Milo, look at Yoko Ohola's back. My God, man. I think most people would stick their fist in between his spinal erectors. Now, you know what was so impressive about him? He won two of the World's Strongest Men. And, you know, I've talked to Randall Strassen and a lot of guys. They don't believe that he could compete against these 6'7" giants that are like probably 400 pounds or 350 now today. Because he, you know, they used to make me laugh. They said he's only 275. He's small. I'm like, I don't know many people at 275 like what he did that small. All right, which is ludicrous, but that's how it is. But when you look at what he did, see, he was the first guy to ever figure out, because Randy verified this too. He was the first guy to really put in a whole World's Strongest Man set up at his home. And, you know, we're talking to yokes, everything, chains, the whole deal. But the thing that impressed me more than anything, now, okay, once again, we got to go back to 275 body weight. I believe I don't know who's done it now. I believe that body weight, because he had all the stones, he made them. I believe he pulled a 430-pound stone off the ground and threw it up on top of one of those, you know, the steel things they lay him on
yeah.
as they go from
Ooh,
stone to
yeah.
stone. Now, you tell me. That isn't impressive. I've seen him before. I think I watched him one time. He deadlifted over. I think it might have been like 8'10". You know, you want to know why this guy's got spinal erectors like that? It's like, that's the shit you have to go out and do. I stress now more than anything, and I know it's not probably as fashionable with a lot of stuff, but you got to do a form of press, and I always believe overhead. That's just my preference. You have to deadlift or and then squat, but you know you can always substitute. And these are the other exercises I love: stones, farmer's walk, tire flip. You want to do some stuff with a sledgehammer, a yoke. What I'm going to get into, we're looking at designing and building a backlift. That's going to be one of the things I'm going to get into in my three-year plan. I'm reverting back even more so now. I think if you would give it a try, and I know you should have some years under your belt, but I'm telling you right now, you train those things for a half an hour. And that means, you know, obviously as they get heavier, you're going to need more time between sets. But if you can get out of there within an hour, no more, all right? 50 minutes would even be better as the weights are climbing up. Not only are you going to be an enduring strength, but you're going to be a powerful son of a bitch, man. It's like that stuff is I'll tell you, like I said to you before, Doc, it makes you unbreakable, in my opinion.
Exactly. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
It's not all this BS where, like you were saying, do 35 sets for biceps, you know, 55 sets for triceps, bench, you know, 400 reps. Let me tell you, I don't care if you're on steroids, you'll be broken, dead, whatever, man, or you'll be getting repairs everywhere, and you'll make a doctor very rich.
Exactly.
Are we good? You got anything else you want to add?
We're okay.
Okay.
We've hit on lots of great stuff today.
We always do. You know, this is why you're on here, because I do very well with you back and forth. And as I said, and I'll say it again, you are a wealth of knowledge and much appreciated, period.
Thank you.
You're very welcome about that. And if you know me, as we get doing stuff, you can ask people. I don't hand out compliments real easy, and that's no shit, because no one hands them out to me real easy. So when I get one, I'm very pleased about it. Doc, why don't you give out all your information again? I'll give mine, and just hang on a minute, and we'll talk briefly
off
there.
Folks can look at our supplements at docspreferred.com, docspreferred.com. They can read the articles that I've written on health and exercise and everything else at drwong.us. That's drwong.u as in United, S as in States, and they could hear me rant and rave on my podcast and listen to my lectures at drwongradio.com.
Beautiful. This is Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. www.fiorellabarbellco.com, www.motivationandmuscle.com. If you have a question or you like Dr. Wong and I to tackle a subject, you can get a hold of me at fiorellabarbell@nicap.rr.com. We're on iTunes, and we are on Stitcher, and obviously we are on my website. Go out and give us a review. You can say whatever you want. I've got a turtle shell. So if you like it, don't like it, that's up to you. We try to do our best here. I'm trying to think what else. We are making some changes. You will see it in the next week or so, all positive. Trying to think. Well, and then we're going to go into, obviously, the people that are sponsoring the show. U.S. Wellness Meats, that's www.grasslandbeef.com. Go out to John's site. If you decide you want to order something, tell them Motivation and Muscle, or tell them Eric Fiorello sent you. They will take great care of you. Secondly, we're going to talk Saugerties Chiropractic Center, 845-246-5020. That is in the New York area, so, you know, take a look at them. If you get my good friend Joan down there, she's a great lady. She will take great, great care of you. And once again, that's 845-246-5020. And obviously, we've got our friend here, Dr. Will Wong. Obviously, www.docspreferred.com. As you can hear, he's a wealth of knowledge. If you're lucky enough to talk to him, I love it. You learn stuff. It's like when we bring Bill Hinburn on, it's like you guys have been around a long time, and it's like I want to capture all this because it's so vital. I mean, we lost Bill Starr last week, and you know, there's another. Yeah, I mean, incredible guy. I mean, you know, Bill Crawford was on here the other night. You know, Husafel Bill, and you know, he had the honor when he trained down at Jack King's gym in the Carolinas. I believe it was in the '80s. he got the pleasure of having Bill Starr critique his Olympic lifting, et cetera, et cetera. We will get that show up hopefully either Sunday or Monday. And I think we've got, last but not least, is Atomic Athletic Company. It's co. Basically, Roger LaPointe is the president. He is running that special on the Super Squat Bar. Go out and check it out. Dr. Wong, once again, exceptional show. I love going back and forth with ideas with you, and I thank you very much for being on today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me on board.
Anytime. So everybody knows Dr. Wong is going to be coming on every couple weeks, and he'll be on, I'll have to verify it, but he'll be on in early May with us if his schedule permits, but he will be on, and we are so happy to have him in the FBC family. So for Dr. Wong, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening to the show. We've got a couple shows tomorrow. I've got one tomorrow and one on Sunday with my buddy Raynor from the Netherlands, and we've got John Johnson on Sunday, who's lives near Niagara Falls here, not far from me, and I think we're going to be talking a lot about Stone. So we will talk to you and have a great weekend, and thanks for listening to the show.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.